Say hello to somebody real quick.
Good morning.
It's still kind of awkward. I'm still not reaching out, shaking hands, and hugging like I would love to do. And so believing and praying that those days will come back again. And we're going to get a good message this morning, I think, to hopefully you'll understand that there's some things that we can do to help get us to that point in our community, in our nation, and just standing in the gap and praying and believing and trusting, among other things. But let's get into God's Word. I want to show you what God gave this week. Amen. So today at the Oasis, we're going to get into a message called Speaking Out. Okay, and it has to do with us speaking out, but also we're going to look a lot at some of the other voices that we're hearing, the other things through media, things through organizations, and things that are happening around the world, around our country, especially right now, and be able to take a closer look at that and hopefully solidify where you are in your walk with God and be able to strengthen you to walk out these things that God is calling us to do every day. So let's start with prayer. Father, we're praising you this morning. I do pray for our country, Lord. Thank you for being who you are, God. And we trust that as we go forth as a nation, that, Father, you will continue. Your hand will always be involved and always be upon our lives. And we pray for our leaders and the president on down and everybody in between, that, Father, each and every person will have their eyes open, their understanding enlightened to the truth that you are the truth, that you are the Almighty, that you are the Creator, the one who we worship and adore, and Father, the one who gave life to begin with. And that, Lord, we keep you in perspective, and I pray that eyes be opened, that blinders be lifted, that hearts be changed towards you, Father, to be open to you, to receive what you want to do. And Father, we're thanking you that you're doing that in our leadership, in the legislature, and the political arena, and each of our individual offices, and people that lead and guide and supervise in our organizations and companies, Lord, that each person will be steered a little more towards you even this week, Lord, that hearts are softened to receive what you want to give and what you want to do in and through them. Father, we're praising you for these things. Thanks for opening our hearts this morning to receive your word. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. So as I ask God what kind of message to share this week, basically, and I do it on a regular basis, asking what message you want for your people. Okay, and that's what I try to listen and try to hear for that. And when I did that regarding this, it's July 4th weekend, right? That's why there's a few people missing and those kind of things. But it's also, even more importantly, called Independence Day. Okay, and it celebrates our independence and our country as a whole and kind of what has led up to where it is now. And there's a huge attack on that. And so as I'm praying and I'm asking, I got quiet one morning and asked him, and he said, this message for this weekend should be relevant to the freedom of speech, the struggle of the freedom of speech that we are seeing in our country right now. Let me read what I wrote down. It should be relevant to the struggle for freedom of speech that we are seeing today. Okay, and there is a squelching. There's something that's happening, and it's been so subtle for so long, and it's no longer subtle anymore. It's starting to get so it's kind of in your face that you need not to share about Christ, or you need to not speak out about this, or you need to speak out about this. And this is, I'm going to stray off my notes just for a little bit, but has anybody ever heard of wokeism? Wokeism? W-O-K-E. It's in the news if you watch the right news. Let me just say that. There's right and there's left. Okay, and they will talk about wokeism. Okay, and maybe a little bit on the other side, but it has to do with a religion that is in place right now in our own country, that is a mindset of a powerful religion that is probably, you know, like you have Christianity, you have the Jewish, you have Mormonism, or you have Buddhism, or you have all these different faiths, right? Different kinds of things. Wokeism is a religion in the sense of it is a very self-centered, self-worship kind of fulfilling thing that is getting to be in your face, like someone knocking on your door saying, I need to tell you about this kind of stuff. It is getting to be that real, but mainly through media, through organizational things. And I'm going to name some of that this morning. If you're not into patriotism and all that stuff, you're going to hate today's message. Okay, because I consider myself to be patriotic. I love our country. I do what I can in political arenas and with law enforcement and other people to help support and to encourage and to do what I can. I want to be a part of that. And so today, since it's 4th of July weekend, you're going to get a little bit of that. So hopefully we can handle it together. There is an underlying message that is being propagated in our society today that has gone from kind of a subtle communication of distrust and ignorance to one of downright hate and division. Okay, it is no longer as subtle as it once was. You're able to see things much more clearly, and that's what 2020, I think, is all about, is this is going to be that year. We're going to see how the end times could really come to play. We're going to see how the Antichrist could ever rise up into power. We're going to see how the mark of the beast could ever happen. How could the masses be so dumb to do something like that? We're seeing that right now. We're seeing how easily persuaded people are. Okay, on our part as the children of God, the steadfast truth that Christians have the solution to all the problems in the world is being squelched like never before. Okay, we have the answer. Does everybody agree with that? Anybody say amen? Amen. Okay, we have the answer. His name is Jesus. And if we follow Jesus and other people follow Jesus, we would be walking in peace, love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It is all good. And it causes people to walk in the right way. Now, you're not out harming people. You're not doing evil things or whatever if you're walking in true Christianity. Okay, and so that is being dissipated more now than I think at any time in history. Okay, rather than the message of hope, okay, the message of deliverance and freedom from sin and its eternal consequence, rather than that being the dominant theme that is coming out of Christians' mouths, many seem to be more in what I would call survival mode. We're just trying to get through today, trying to get through the next day, and we're silently hoping for things to turn around and to get better again so that we can start to share Christ again without that feeling of, you know, being rebuked or rebuked, or that we can share the gospel of grace again without that fear of criticism or even outright retaliation for sharing what we believe as Christians. I've heard it said recently when someone was describing all that's been going on in the country in the last few months, and they said, it just seems like this is all a bad dream. And they said they just keep hoping they will wake up and one day it'll all be better. Right? It'll all be kind of back to normal. You ever have a bad dream and you wake up and you got that kind of funny feeling? Well, it's good to know when you realize it's a dream. It was just a dream. Whew! You know, my wife wasn't really, you know, screaming at me. It was just a dream. Whatever that, you know what I'm saying. You've had those. Okay? Or you're at work and things are going horribly wrong and then you wake up and, oh, it's just a dream. Right? We want to get to that point. And sometimes right now, it seems like a lot of Christians are kind of at that. That we just, what's going on is kind of like a bad dream. We don't understand it. We don't know where it's going, what's going to end up. And that's the way a lot of dreams are. They're kind of erratic. They're kind of, you don't know what's going to happen next. Okay, well, in our world right now, there's a lot of that feeling going on. Okay, I know at times I have felt that way about our world. I saw something the other day that I could relate to, and it said something to the effect of, it seems like the most exercise that I've gotten lately is from shaking my head in disbelief. Okay, and I can kind of relate to that, because you just wake up, you turn on the news or whatever, see what the NFL is doing lately, or see what all these things are that are happening in our world, and you just have to shake your head. How could we do this? What is going on in our country? I find myself at times being puzzled, okay, at the outrageous things that we're seeing happening in our country right now, until I get into God's Word, and I start seeing a different understanding. I start seeing a different explanation for what's happening. I start seeing a prophecy that foretold what is happening. Or I start seeing an actual, almost word-for-word account of what we're seeing happen, played out right in the Bible, but it's playing out now in our country. You remember the whole, I told about the goddess Diana and all these guys rose up because their money was being affected because the disciples were preaching Jesus. And people were quitting buying the little trinket statues of the goddess Diana. And so they're like, hey, these guys are going to put us out of business. So they rose up and they started this big uproar and started rioting and all this stuff. And one of the disciples stands up and tries to speak, and they started shouting, great is the goddess Diana. And a crowd started gathering, and all these people are chanting, God, great is the goddess Diana. And it literally says in the Bible that many of those people were there not even knowing why they were there. But they were there just to chant and go along with it all. And that is being played out right now in our country. We see that stuff happening. It's at those times when you can look in God's Word, it tells you where our answer is going to be found. We're going to see it and get a better understanding, have more peace when we see those things in the Bible. But it's at those times that I am reassured that God not only knows what's going on, but that it is a time like no other to lean on and depend on God for daily instruction on what to do next. Because there's so many things that you can get really caught up in it and really stressed out, or you keep depending on God saying, what do you want me to do next? That's why for me to, that's not a good example, but for me to pray, God, what do you want your people to hear this Sunday? Okay, that's everyday walk for me. I wake up and I say, God, what do you want me to do today? Okay, if I'm going to work somewhere or help somebody or do different things, what would you have me to do on this day? And then you know that you're going to be fulfilling the easiest, best, not always easiest, but the best route with God. God's Word describes perfectly what's happening in our world right now. And one example is where the Apostle Paul is telling us and explaining, writing to us about the last days on earth. Okay, before God finally says, enough is enough. Okay, and he implements the return of Jesus Christ. When it all comes to that point and says, here's Jesus, it's all done from this point on. And as Paul is explaining it, he details how it is all going to reach sort of a peak of separation between those who have believed the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord and those that have rejected that truth. And in the end, the Bible says, in the last days, the angels will be the reapers that will come and snatch out the wicked from among the just. Okay, that day is not today necessarily, but that is coming. And what is happening, if you've ever been around a wheat field, you know, in Kansas and Oklahoma, I went custom combining down there as a young man, and in those areas, it's just, I mean, the fields are like 2 or 3 miles across, and they literally have to fuel up the tractor on one end sometimes to get them to the other, because it was such big fields, they'd run out. But these big old white fields, when they get white for harvest, and they get ripe and they're ready, and it's this big old wavy field, and you can spot the weeds, okay, in that field. You can pick them out. And remember, Jesus talked about that. They're like, the guy says to the master, Lord, didn't you plant good seed in your field? How come there's all these weeds? And he says, the enemy planted the weeds. And they say, should we go get the weeds? And they say, no, because you'll trample on the wheat while you're going to get the weeds. Wait till the end, and then we'll separate them at the end. And that is what's coming. So this separation is beginning where you're starting to see the weeds. And that's that vision, 2020 vision that we're seeing right now, where you can see the weeds. You're starting to see that is so far out there, so crazy, so absurd, it is a no-brainer that I can see that that's a weed, right? Okay, well, Paul exhorts us, and I'm going to summarize a little bit of what he says. First, I think it's 2 Thessalonians. I'll get to it in a minute. 2 Thessalonians. But leading up to the verse that I'm going to show you, a couple verses, Paul is describing and explaining what is happening. He exhorts us to let no one in any way deceive you or entrap you. He says, for the day of the Lord will not come unless the apostasy comes first. That is the great rebellion, the abandonment of the faith by professed Christians. It's the separation that takes place. He then goes on to describe the coming of the Antichrist. Says he will show himself with the great power and counterfeit miracles and signs and wonders and false wonders, all these deceptions he'll be unloosing into the people, all of which are lies, all of which are rooted on a lie, foundation, founded on a lie. The devil will employ an unlimited amount of seduction. Okay, evil deception to try and allure and draw those people who are perishing because they did not welcome and love the truth of the gospel so that they could be saved. Okay, and I'm not saying, there's a term out there called predestination. Some are destined for hell, some are destined for heaven. I think we get choice. God gave us choice. Okay, let me just say that. But I also see that there are some that are not inclined to come to Christ right now. Okay, and if they don't choose and make that choice, they will continue down that path. I was going down that path. Many of you guys were too. The gospel got shared with me, and I saw a light and said, no, I'm going to go this way and followed after the gospel of Christ instead of against Christ. Okay, well, right now, there's all these things being put out there in our society and the world that are like, you can go this wicked route. Look at this great temptation. Look at how far you can go this way. And it is alluring people after that, some blindly going after it, ignorantly going after it, not even realizing why they're going after it, but it just seems like the thing to do. Okay, and they're being drawn in that direction. That separation is what Paul describes and is leading up to these verses we're going to read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. It says, and for this cause, because they're going after the wrong way automatically, or by themselves anyway, it says, and for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, so that they might all be damned who believed not the truth and had pleasure in unrighteousness. Okay, now, this verse simply means that they have become spiritually blind. They are blinded to the truth. They've rejected the truth that would have saved them. And because of this, God will send upon them a misleading influence, an activity of error and deception, so that they will actually believe that lie. Something that is so far out there, how can you believe that without some error of deception or something that is allowing you to go in that direction? So they end up believing that lie. So then they're all judged and condemned who did not believe the truth about their sin. They did not believe the truth about their need for a Savior, their need for salvation through Jesus, but instead they took pleasure in and followed after unrighteousness. Okay, we're all given that choice on a regular basis. Okay, but God is, I believe at this point, starting to separate the goats from the sheep. Okay, the lost from the saved is starting to be a bigger gap. The righteous from the unrighteous. This gap is beginning to show itself more than I've seen in many, many years. That current visible divide is widening a little bit more every day. This is the only explanation for how a society can get to the point where hate, violence, and division is presumed to be the answer to solve the problems of hate, violence, and division. Right? So more of what you don't want. Right? That's what's happening right now. And that is a delusion. It's using hate and violence to try to cure hate and violence. James, the brother of our Lord, made some statements a couple thousand years ago that also seems to describe what is happening right now. It's about Christians belittling each other, passing rash judgments on one another, on their fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, simply because they are not on board with their particular cause. Anybody heard that word cause lately? There's a lot of causes out there that people like to get behind something, support it, and support that cause. Okay, whether it be saving the whales or hugging a tree or, you know, we got all kinds. Black Lives Matter, some of those things are in play right now. Okay, and I'm going to talk about some of those. Okay, their judgment for people that are judging their brothers and sisters in Christ, saying, you're not on board with what I'm doing, you must be wrong. Okay, that means that they have taken on the mentality of a judge, but their judgment is rooted in humanism and is devoid of all divine intervention or divine wisdom. Okay, to have the world telling you what to believe and then to go out and try to put that onto your Christian brothers and sisters saying, you need to believe what I believe because the world is telling me to believe this, and they're not, and then criticize, judge, put down, and in some places even be violent towards those people that are not getting on board. Let me describe it or read this out of James. He said in James 4, verses 11 and 12, he said, "To speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaks evil of his brother and judges his brother speaks evil of the law and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, then thou art no more a doer of the law." In other words, they're telling them to do something without doing it themselves. "They are no more a doer of the law, but a judge." Verse 12, but you need to remember there is only one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that you judge one another? In other words, leave that kind of stuff up to God. Okay, there is one lawgiver and one judge whose judgment is accurate, whose judgment is true and just, and it is not the judgment of a deceived Christian trying to persuade you into supporting or actually engaging in criticism, hate, and violence, proclaiming that that is God's way. There are people that are doing that are saying that some of this destructive stuff is good, that you need to get on board and to support those kind of things. The world currently has some movements, okay? I would call them bowel movements, but there's some movements out there right now, okay? Groups of people that have banded together with ideas that are so far out there that anyone with even a hint of common sense or conservatism or, you know, morality, okay, is just shaking their head in disbelief. But yet there are many that are afraid to speak contrary to the craziness for fear that they will be labeled as a racist or labeled as anti-peace, anti-American, anti-Christian, if you speak out against any of those kind of things. At the very least, you're going to be criticized for not being on board what we have been told by the media is the consensus of the masses. It makes you think when you watch news or listen to stuff that everybody is on board with that. Okay, and yet, if you listen to certain news, you can get some truth, and they're saying, those guys are crazy nuts, we need not to go that direction. But a lot of it is, these are just peaceful protests. These are good things that are happening around our country, and it tries to make it seem like it's not such a bad thing. The Black Lives Matter, okay, if I say BLM, it doesn't mean the Bureau of Land Management, okay? I know that so if I didn't state the full name, some people wouldn't get that, but that Black Lives Matter message that says that if you are not with them, then you're against them, is contrary to the ways of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. People are being verbally abused. They're even being physically abused or beaten for stating all lives matter instead of rather just saying Black Lives Matter. Okay, there were some at some of the protests and things where people would hold up their sign, all lives matter, and they were literally ripping those signs out of their hands or being violent towards them because their message was Black Lives Matter and anything else would not work. That sort of forced loyalty to a cause would be esteemed justifiable but to no one but God. But even God himself, the creator, the master, the Lord of the universe, does not ever demand or force anyone to follow him in his ways. Not as a Christian New Testament believer. You know, being a law enforcement chaplain and having some good friends who serve in the law enforcement community, I'm very aware of a symbol or a term that's referred to as the thin blue line. Anybody ever heard of that? Okay, it's been out there in a lot of different ways. Many times you'll see it on a flag, and like an American flag with a thin blue line that goes down, and it's on a lot of other materials. It's often seen on Facebook pages and the law enforcement family page and other things have a lot of posts about it. It's on t-shirts, it's on hats. I actually bought a tie that has a thin blue line on an American flag tie. Okay, it is out there on department and company logos. Some police departments and things actually had it on the side of their door. They had that line on there. There's little ribbons you can, and I'll explain what it means, but even if you have a badge and you put a thin blue line across it, it is commemorating someone that died in the force, and that's their way of showing their support for their family and other people. Okay, most often it's an American flag with a thin blue stripe down the middle of it, flown to show support for law enforcement officers and their families. Okay, the Davenport Police Department Facebook page, I found a definition. It says the thin blue line represents the police officer role of separating the good from the bad while creating order from chaos. The thin blue line on black or black background is a memorial or a connection or a memory between officers killed in a line of duty and those who continue with their duties in the present. It's just saying, I'm supporting these guys. I'm, you know, knew their family. I want to show that I care about them. Those who fly the flag have said that it stands for solidarity and professional pride within a dangerous and very difficult profession, and it's a solemn tribute to fallen police officers. Hey, pretty good thing, in my opinion. But as part of Satan's scheme to divide and conquer, the lie has been propagated that you are racist or anti-American, anti-Christian, if you support law and order. The term that has often been used here recently, they're starting to quit using it because it started getting a different kind of name that they didn't like, but it's called silence is violence. Anybody ever heard that? Okay, they pulled it down pretty quick because it started going around. It was all the major news channels, silence is violence. What that means is if you're not speaking out for Black Lives Matter, if you're not speaking out in support of demolishing the blue line and getting rid of that stuff, if you're not speaking out against that stuff, your silence is considered a violent act where you're not engaging, you're not participating, and you become bad. Okay, silence, that term silence is violence, it emphatically implies that anyone who does not speak out against the police is said to be anti-Black Lives Matter and therefore opens themselves up to backlash, criticism, threats, property destruction, and even physical harm. People all over the country are having their blue line flags torn down and destroyed. One police family, I believe it was in Indiana, had theirs torn down and burned in their driveway, and then a message was spray painted across the side of their garage door that said, "Now maybe you'll learn to fly the right flag, BLM. Now, I think that we would all agree that misconduct on the part of law enforcement is not okay. Okay? No one in here has probably ever met someone that is in favor of or supports abuse of power by those who are enforcing the laws of the land. We just don't get behind that. We're not supporting bad stuff that happens. But the current message that cops are evil, and that if you do not remove a thin blue line from your logo, or if you keep a thin blue line flag hanging in your yard, or you keep a comment up on your Facebook page that says you still support law enforcement, that is somehow un-Christian or un-American is absurd. Okay, it is absurd to think that way. That is the majority, those who are lost and living according to the ways of the world, telling the believers and followers of the truth to compromise and to not do what is right. We know we should support one another. It doesn't matter what field they're in. If they're in an illegal field, of course, we don't recommend that stuff so much. But when it's a good, honorable job, we are going to support and encourage and do what we can. We are going to do what is right. That nationwide message of fear and hate is all based on a lie, and it's aimed at keeping those people like you and I, okay, that know some truth, that love people, that know that Jesus loves all unconditionally. We know that truth, and this message of hate is trying to keep you from speaking out with that truth. That's why this is titled Speaking Out. It's about speaking out the right things. The same James who exhorted us not to speak evil against one another went on to say that since you do not know what is going to happen tomorrow, You need to start living for today and doing what you know is right to do on this day. And he finishes that passage with this in James 4:17. He said, therefore, to him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it becomes a sin. As Christians, we follow the ways of Jesus, who told us that they that were not with him, let me read that again. We follow the ways of Jesus, who told us that they that were not with him were not automatically assumed to be against him. Okay, that's the message. That's this woke religion I was describing. That's what it is, that if you're not with me, you're against me. You are actively being violent towards me because you're not with me. That's wokeism. Okay, and that's what's being pushed right now. Jesus didn't necessarily say that. In fact, in Luke chapter 9, verse 49 and 50, it says that John answered and said, Master, we saw someone that was casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not with us. But Jesus said unto him, no, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. The complete opposite of that message that's being pushed. Just because I say all lives matter instead of black lives matter, does not mean that I am against black people. It simply means that I am for black people, but I'm also for every other kind of people. Okay? That is the Christian way. And that is to say that it is not the Christian way is nothing less than persecution for being an active follower of Jesus Christ. We got to stand for the right things. Okay, and when God says he loves people and is not willing that any should perish, that God wants people to come to know him, that's everybody. He didn't pick out a few hand-picked people and say, you know what, that's not you're not coming with me. You know, there's an agenda that's being pushed right now in our country that is clearly not from God. Okay, and yet many Christians are not saying or doing anything about it yet. Hopefully after today we all will, right? Christians need to get involved, okay, to speak out some truth, to stand up for what is right and what is godly, to stand up for God and his ways. Okay, when we don't, we're simply condoning the behavior of the ungodly. At the very least, we as believers need to make it a regular part of our communication with God in prayer. For the blinders to be removed from the eyes of those who are caught up in the delusion. Pray for those blinders to come down. Pray for them to be able to see the truth. Pray for their hearts to be softened. As a group or any group that sponsors or promotes or instigates or is any way involved in violence or property destruction, breaking of laws, that is not an organization that we as Christians should connect ourselves with in any way. The only laws that you will ever consider to be ethically or morally right to not obey in its entirety would be those that say that you are not allowed to believe in or to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone says you can no longer do that. I can't go along with that, and I wouldn't recommend it for Christians. That day is probably coming. Any group that threatens you if you do not agree or go along with their agenda is simply not from God. Jesus preached the word. He preached the ways of God, and he is the highest authority in the known and unknown universe. And never once did he use any type of threat or implication of harm to the hearers if they did not comply. What we do not want to do is to buy into, to yield to the rhetoric of the fear that says, if you preach or teach anything that is other than what the current world is screaming, that you're out of line. We don't want to give in to that. The world can scream whatever it wants, whatever message it wants. I'm still going to be shouting from the rooftops, Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. Okay, he is the Son of God Most High. He went to the cross, bore our sins so that we could be forgiven and have life everlasting. The gospel of Jesus Christ has not changed in over 2,000 years. It was offensive back then, and it's offensive today. It has always been offensive to anyone who wants to maintain wickedness. Okay, if you don't want to have light shined on your darkness, you're going to be against that. Okay, and that has always been, and it still is even today. Eventual death, eternal judgment by our Creator, is not something that we as Christians laud over someone. I don't, anyway. I don't preach the gospel message saying, you're going to perish in hell, you're a filthy sinner. I am more on the other side where I present the gospel. Okay, tell them who Jesus is, what he did for them, and if you've got sin in your life, then yes, you do have sin in your life, and you need to come unto Jesus so that you can avoid those things. Okay, eventual death, passing from this life, being judged for your sins against the one true holy God is not simply an option or a consequence for a select few or one particular type of person. It is universal to all of mankind. We will meet our Maker. Everybody is in that category. We simply tell people that the one who created the heavens and the earth, the one that created, I like to say, the heavens and the earth, the seas and the trees and you and these, okay, the Almighty God, the eternal, loving, yet just, final authority on all matters pertaining to human life is the Almighty God. That's who He is. Christianity has always set itself apart from the ways of the world. And right now, during this current age, it is no different. True Christians have never, ever used violence or coercion to try to persuade people to believe or follow after Christ. So when we present the gospel, we pray, and we let the Holy Spirit take it from there. Okay, I had a note I wrote in my Bible probably, 20 years ago, something like that, that has a little note that says something about preach the gospel, let the Holy Spirit take it from there. Okay, because He is going to work in hearts and begin to change, and that good news of the gospel and the goodness of God is going to lead to repentance, but it's the Holy Spirit that begins to quicken things. So we present the gospel, we pray, and we let the Holy Spirit take it from there. But the key to that is the first part of what I just said. We are to present the gospel through not only what we say, but how we live. Okay, I want to show you something in Colossians chapter 4, as I wrap this up. Colossians 4, verse 2 through 6. He says, to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mysteries of Christ, for which I am also in bond, so that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, the lost, redeeming the time, or making the most effective use of the time you have on earth. Verse 6 says, to let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. We must continue to share the gospel of Christ with the lost world. He is the only way. He is the only hope for anyone and everyone to be cleansed of their sin, to be gifted with righteousness, to be in right standing with God. That is the only way. It is by grace through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Do not let the pressures of the world keep you from living or presenting the gospel of salvation through faith in Jesus. We must live with that, the unction of the Holy Spirit rising up in us that says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. It is what needs to be shared. Rather than being ashamed of the gospel, we should pray like the disciples prayed in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18 through 20. And we are to pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, for us, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. See, God says that if His people will humble themselves and seek His face and pray, that He will hear our prayers and heal our land. This is the only way that we're going to be able to have the bad dream that we seem to be living in today turn into a dream of hope and a dream of expectation for the future. is either God is going to turn things around or Jesus is going to come back. Either way, praying and seeking the Lord, seeking His face is where you want to be found. So that's the end-all answer. Seek the Lord, seek His face, put time in His presence, and you'll be exactly where God wants you to be. Father God, we're praising You this morning that, Father, You've encouraged, I pray that You've encouraged us, Lord, to be bold with the gospel, to be bold with the truth, to speak out and say what needs to be said at the right time. I know there's times You held Your tongue, but You were bold to share the gospel. You taught Your disciples and taught us to be bold to share the gospel, to make it known as we ought to make it known. Father, we pray that You encourage each one of us. Help us to walk in faith towards You, to walk in a strength that comes from You, to walk in the Spirit, knowing and living and displaying the fruits of Your Spirit through us, Lord, as we manifest the kingdom of God and Your love, Your grace, Your beautiful anointing through each one of us, Lord. Help us to see the truth, to recognize the weeds, Father, to see that truth and to walk in it, to be able to share and openly express what You have done in and through our lives. Lord, we give You the praise and we give You the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen.